We have to know what that word say. It's all right to take part and to take these words and begin to speak them, but just make sure that they're God's words. Make sure that you hear what the Spirit is saying to you, and that these words are coming out of the Bible and just not somebody speaking them. You know where it is in the Bible. You know, and then you study it. God is good. God is kind. God is loving. God is peace. God is prosperity. God is peace. Everything that God says, He have compassion on us. We have to remember everything that He says. We know that He's the God of peace. We know that He's kind and He is loving. And we know that He wants us to prosper, even as our soul prosper. But we also need to know that God is a compassionate God. Do you know this, saints? That God is compassionate? Jesus said, He was talking to this ruler one day, and this ruler said, he called Jesus good master. And in Luke 18 and 19, this is how Jesus answered him. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. So see, we have to know there's nothing and no one good but God. And Jesus said that about his Father. So we have to realize God is a good God. We need to pray and we need to ask God to help us to see the word as he tells us in the word. To see how we see the word. So that when we see the word, we'll know what he's saying and we'll know that it's spiritual. See, sometimes we think people are just saying things and they're mixing so much of themselves in it until we don't know the word. So you have to know the word. You have to read the word. And there's none holy, there's none righteous, there's none good but God. So we have to understand that sense of God, the power of God. We need to know the power of God. And we see all those powers of God. That's the power of God. And the power of God is in his word. All of God's word is filled with power and the anointing that will destroy every yoke. But if you don't know this, you can't benefit from it. Proverbs 4 and 20 said, it tells us to attend to the word. It says, pay attention. Take heed to the word. Look at the word. Look after the word. You know, this is what that word attention means. And it says, take charge of the word. All that. That's what we're supposed to do. Take charge of the word. Pay attention to the word. Look at the word. That's what God wants us to do. And that's what he called attending to his word. You know, to direct our attention. We want to direct our attention. That this is how we attend to the word of God. When we practice doing these things, it will be health to all our flesh. When we attend to it, when we look at it, when we pay attention to it, this is how we attend to the word of God. And he says when we attend to his word, you know, it's going to be health to all of our flesh.
All right, family, you have been listening to the Spiritual Growth Night Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Best. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Best, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Best or Spiritual Growth Ministry at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all together, this is what the act is
coming to. 7-1-3-0-7. Tune in every Tuesday.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The Gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to St. John chapter 15. I want you to look at verses 12 and 13. I'm preaching through this 15th chapter. There are so many wonderful things in this chapter that is helpful to the believers and what they're going through and what they're going to go through and how to deal with it, how to be productive in this earth realm. To be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand your source. You've been struggling because you haven't been tapped in consciously to your source. You see, the devil don't want you to know how much power you have, and Jesus has dealt with this all in these 12 verses that we have already 11 verses, and beginning at this 12th verse, he's now given us a command. But the command has come after he's given us the understanding. He's loved about Jesus, his ministry was so authentic. He tracked it because he made it understandable to those who made it understandable. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Verse 13, "Greater love do you, no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Never knew love like this before. Never knew love like this before. I can tell by the response, you know that was a secular singer who said that was, "I never knew love like this before, then came you." Don't sit here now and act like you don't know it. But I've got news for you. What the singer was talking about can't compare to the love the Savior is talking about. And so we want us to look at this very closely, because herein we will discover the secret of this great love. Well, now, to do that, we need to back up at least to the ninth verse. And as I walk through them again, I want you to see them as the scripture gives us illumination. First, verse 9 is talking about being steadfast. Being steadfast. Listen at what Jesus says. Verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." Continue in my love. He's talking about being steadfast, staying connected, being in connection with and to the source that empowers you to love. In other words, Jesus describes that the love we got came from him. But the love we had or has comes from the Father. So there is a divine connection, a divine flow running from the Father to the Son to the disciples and or the believers in Christ Jesus. So verse 9 is dealing with us understanding we've got to be steadfast. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be connected on Sunday and disconnected Monday through Saturday. And then because you come into church, you try and find your plug to get hooked back up again for church on Sunday morning. And soon as service is over, you disconnect again. Because what you don't understand is because you are not being constant in the flow of God's love, you're losing a lot of power, you're losing a lot of provisions, you're losing a lot of provisions that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to have in this fellowship. So notice again, we want us to look at the fact that he moves on to verse 10, and he's talking about submission in verse 10 because he says, if ye keep my commandments, if ye keep my commandments. This is where he's talking about submission because he says, ye shall, what? Abide in my love. So what he's making clear to us is, if we would submit to the commandments, which come from the words that he's later going to make very clear in the next verse, comes from what he has spoken. What he has spoken is already given to us in these first 9 verses already that Jesus Christ has literally released from his mouth through his spirit. And so those things are giving us the understanding of how to operate in this divine love by one being steadfast, by being connected, and by continuing in what we have. Listen at this. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to flow. I know Jesus, but am I flowing in Jesus is what he really wants to know. And see, a whole lot of church folk know Jesus. If you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. When is he a friend? Because the way you act sure enough don't seem like he's a part of your life. The way you handle folk, the way you talk to folk, the way you look at folk, the way you interact with folk, you don't act like you know Jesus at all. But when you flow in Jesus, it shows up in everything you do. How you walk, how you talk, how you live, how you act. All of these things are affected by the flow because he flows over into every arena of your life. When you submit to him, listen, he says, ye shall. It's a certainty. There is assurance there. Ye shall abide in his love. And he wants you to know something. He's not just telling you something he hasn't done. He says, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's making clear, I'm not asking you to do something I have not done. And so he's teaching us the way through examples. But then he goes on to verse 11. And he says, these words have I spoken unto you. What he's talking about here is stewardship. These things have I spoken to you. These words, this is what he's really saying. These words have I spoken to you. These things which I have spoken unto you. He's making clear. What is he trying to make clear? That his joy might remain in us and that our joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now listen, you not realize the stewardship of taking care of the love that the Lord has deposited in our life and the love that he expects you to increase by his knowledge, by the things he has spoken, by your obedience to them, increases the joy that he has in you to a whole nother level. Keep in mind, he's getting ready to go off the scene. Gethsemane is round the corner. And he's getting ready to leave the disciples, and he's letting them know, I've given you joy, but I haven't filled you up. Because this is a participatory process. In other words, you've got to do your part. And see, a lot of folk don't understand. You can't just come to church on Sunday and listen at me teach and listen at me preach. Come to Bible, listen at me teach school and listen at the teachers teach and preach and minister the word. You've got to open up the word yourself and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, you have got to apply yourself. You see, the more you get to know him, the more he gets to allow you to feel and to experience his greatness. And see, the only reason why he did not fill them up then, listen to this, is because they couldn't handle it. Are y'all listening to me here? Jesus never gave them more than they could handle. And that works both in negative things and positive things. Listen, he won't put more on you than you can handle in a negative sense or allow it to be put on you. And even in the positive sense, he said, there's so many wonderful things I want to tell you. I'm excited about it, but ye cannot handle them now. Any good parent who knows anything about parenting knows she got to feed your child. But a good parent knows that you can't feed your child anything. Listen. The younger the child, the more cautious you've got to be about straining the food that you feed them, lest they choke on it and die. Jesus loved us so much that he started us out on milk. And as we kept growing in him, listen, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul wanted us to understand. If you keep on drinking milk, you get stronger. Your teeth and your bones begin to get stronger. And then you begin eating salt foods. And from salt foods, you graduate on to more substantive foods. And then when you rhythm nice to good and strong, then you learn to start chopping some meat, and when you really got good choppers, you can start eating steak and good healthy meats that are protein filled. But just because a parent knows that it's good for you, if you can't handle it, I've even seen some mothers, young mothers, when they were there, be trying to feed the child something maybe like chicken or maybe something like Salisbury steak. Now, I know this might not be proper in eyesight, but they would take it in a spoon and they chew it up a little bit. Don't sit there and act like you ain't never do it. You know grandma used to do that. And then they take it and put it in the baby's mouth because they broke it down because the baby didn't have teeth enough to break it down so they can digest it without having any complication. Are y'all listening to me here today? So Jesus is breaking it down so we can handle it, because what he's getting ready to tell us is too important for it to pass without having some help in our understanding. So in 11, he's dealing with stewardship, because that's important for us to realize we've got an important role to play in the process. He don't do it all for us. He helps us to do it all. And then verse 12 deals with similitude. And similitude is important because we need you to hear what it says about similitude. He says, this is my commandment. He's talking to his disciples. He's making this commandment a promise. When he says, this is my commandment, he's calling them to look and connect in a prioritized way to their Savior and their Lord, and know that he's talking to them personally, each and every one of them. What is he saying to them? That ye love one another. Now, he's talking about duplicating what he goes on to say he has demonstrated. As I have loved, past tense, you. So in other words, he wants them to duplicate what he's demonstrated already to them. What I love about the Lord Jesus Christ is he gives us a path. But he also gives us a pattern so that we are able to discover how to move, how to flow, how to function in that he calls us to do. He's not giving us some knowledge without the understanding of how to operate in it. He's showing them that already. And so it's similar to as I have. What's interesting about this is he's saying, as the Father has loved me, so as the Father has loved me, you do the same. Don't transfer loves. Don't transpose loves. You were loved with a copy love. God kind of love, the greatest kind of love. Love one another with that love. Don't love them with the filial brother love. And don't even love them with the eros, man and woman love, and other loves that you are able to love in the flesh with, and especially not your own kind of love, because that vacillates too. Now, sometimes you don't even love yourself. I don't want you loving nobody with that kind of love. I want you to love them with the love you've been loved with, and that's the love I've been loved with, the love you've been loved of God that I want you to love. Do you know, incidentally, I want you to love. Do you know other love that you can truly love everybody else with other than God's love? I'm a people real with you today. It might hurt your feelings, but I look at some of you, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I couldn't love you outside of God's love. Because what you missed is that people don't understand when you have to love somebody with God's love, that means in spite of what you hear, in spite of what you see, in spite of what you know, in spite of what you experience. Are y'all gonna talk to me today? And so sometime when you hear too much, when you see too much, when you know too much, when you've experienced too much, you don't wanna love them at all, but you command them to love them at all. Jesus has loved us, and when you begin to think about it, he loved us in spite of what he heard about us, what he saw about us, what he experienced with us. Y'all gonna talk to me? And so when I investigate all that he did to love me, I don't have a right not to love you, don't care how hellish and hateful you might be. Because all I got to do is think about me and think about how he sees me. And in spite of me, he loves me with a perfect love.
That's the only perfect love. My son is in the synagogue. I forgot when that was. Some of you sitting up here holding that like, oh, he's giving me a second chance. Really, you got born again today? Because even since you got born again, you done already messed up. You already needed another chance. You got born again, you done already. First thing, if you don't know nothing else, it's just that pride you got in the bag like you are perfect, like you got that way on your own. It's his love that gives us the right and the opportunity to love others in that. John says, can you say you love God, whom you have never seen, and hate your brother whom you go to church with, on the same pew in, you know, with all that, singing the choir with, on the deacon minute, deaconess minute, usher be, y'all here. He says, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. See, Jesus is trying to help us to understand the only way we can love one another is if the flow of love from the Father through the Son is in us. A love greater than the Son's total love must abide in us, stay connected to us, continue in us, for us to have the kind of love that represents him. So that he tells us to duplicate what we've been demonstrated in our lives. And listen at this, and I'm going to move to the next verse. If you've not received the love of Jesus, you can't love like Jesus. But I got news for you. If you say you've been redeemed, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you say you love the Lord and the Lord loves you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you say this, you ought to test me. This is your lifestyle. See, I've got to say, we need to get up off of that kind of stuff where we aren't even good to one another in the house of God, less known to the people in the world. We got folk that come in the church, and sometimes we have groups that want to worship with us, and some of us don't want to give up our favorite seats. Others have to go get the chair. Tim have to go there and say, listen, we got to, I don't care, this is my seat. Look, I don't care if the name badge on that seat says donated by you. It's been donated for the purpose of being in the house of God for worshipers. It ain't your seat, boo. Get up and let somebody sit down who might actually appreciate hearing the word of God and make me sleep. Let it in alone. Somebody sitting here all booted up, looking all strange. That's sitting who is you? Don't talk about it. They come in our church and are filled with the Holy Ghost and start dancing and shouting. Don't let them play a tambourine. Don't let them start shouting. Don't let them start dancing. You start looking like, I wish you would come up over here, up in my ear with all of that. What a love of Jesus. You don't know what them people have been through. You don't know that could have been through the fine trees of death, hell, and destruction. And the Lord spared their life. And they were glad when they said unto them, let us go.